Well, tonight I want to tell you what the title of the message is. It's kind of a funny little title, but you'll find out what we're talking about as we go. The title of tonight's message is Standing Up Under. Kind of a weird title for a message, but like I said, we're going to define some things for you tonight. We're going to take a look at one little word. You know, when you get into the Word of God and you start reading the Bible, it can be overwhelming, the amount of stuff that starts coming to you and the things that you start to learn and the things that you start to understand. And I know in my personal walk with God, when I first became a Christian and gave my heart and life to Jesus, I decided that I was going to get into this book and find out what it was that I was really saying that I was believing, find out what it was that God wanted me to do, find out how to live life, and you know, just kind of get into the book. And so I read through the whole Bible in like a year. I mean, I just devoured as much of it as I could. And at the end of that year, I read, you know, Revelation chapter, you know, all the way at the end there, chapter 22, and I read amen, and I said, all right, amen. What on earth did I just read? And so I had to learn how to slow down. I had to learn how to just take little bite-sized pieces of the Word of God and digest them, turn them over, and meditate on them, and find out really what is it that God is saying. Tonight is no different. We're going to be in Luke chapter number 21, and if you'll turn with me to Luke chapter number 21 in your Bibles, we're going to take a look at verse number 19. Luke chapter 21, verse number 19. And let me set the stage for you. The disciples and Jesus are walking. They're in Jerusalem. They're taking a look at the temple. Jesus has just shown them some things and been teaching them and teaching the people. He's been debating with the Pharisees and the Sadducees and all the different religious leaders of the day. And so here they are, and they're walking out. And some of the disciples start pointing out some of the decorations, some of the donations, some of the shiny things on the temple. And they're saying, look, Jesus, look how beautiful that is. Don't you admire how great that looks? I mean, just take a look, Jesus. Isn't that spectacular? And Jesus starts to tell them, well, you know what, that's cool, but, you know, not one of these stones is going to be still standing on top of one of the other ones. See, this place is going to be desolated. This place is going to be desecrated. This place is going to be taken down. And the disciples pull him aside privately and say, when is this going to happen? What's going to go on? And he starts to tell them about what's going to take place. Starts to tell them about the trials and the tests that they personally are going to endure, that they will be brought before the governments and the councils and before kings and leaders, that they're going to be beaten up, that their family members are going to turn on them. He starts to tell them about all these problems, pressures, trials, and tribulations that they're about to face. And he starts to tell them, but I don't want you to worry about this stuff. I don't want you to get involved in this stuff in your thinking beforehand. I want you to trust the Holy Spirit to speak on your behalf. I want you to trust me. And he makes this little statement in Luke chapter number 21, verse number 19. Powerful little verse. Luke 21, verse 19 says, by your patience, possess your souls. Many times we take a look at a word like patience, and we say, man, I don't want to learn about patience. Why? Because I know that after I learn about it, now I'm accountable for it. Means I got to do it. Means I got to be patient. We live in a very impatient society. People want to have it their way. They want to have it in 30 seconds or less. If you don't deliver it to me on time, I get it for free. I get to have fast food, and I get to have, you know, my deal my way. Have it your way, you know, and all the different slogans and the things that go along, and people are trying to push. We're fast, we're better, we're quicker, we've got more quality and less time, and they're trying to give to us all this instant access. Everything that you see now is on demand. You know, you don't have to wait for the movie to come around anymore. You can demand the movie. You can pay the money. You can get the movie right now. You can see it right there. It's on demand. Did you know that they've started putting different things online on demand now? It's a sort of demanding society. Give it to me now. I want it now. I don't want to wait in a line. I'll make an appointment so I don't have to wait in a line. I want to just walk right up to the window and be taken care of. And yet Jesus is saying that in the middle of life, when things are going on, when things are happening, problems and pressures and trials are coming against us, that we're not to worry, we're to trust the Holy Spirit, and by your patience, possess your souls. Kind of a funny little statement. What is patience? What is this thing called patience? Well, most of us would say something like this. Well, patience means to be waiting for something. Patience just means waiting quietly. Maybe we'd go even further and we'd say it's steadfastness or constancy or consistency, endurance. Maybe we would even say perseverance. And yes, patience has all of those elements. But when you break this word patience down, especially in the biblical understanding in the New Testament, It really means living and remaining under something. Let me say that again. The word really, when you break it down, means living and remaining under something. It's a compound word, two words that are put together. One of them means to come under, and the other one means to abide, to live, to stay, to dwell. So true patience is when we live and when we remain under something. Jesus is saying, by your living and remaining under the problem, under the trial, under the pressure, possess your souls. That you can make it with God. That you can endure. That you can go through trials and hardship. In the New Testament, this characteristic is one who is not swerved from their deliberate purpose and loyalty to faith and godliness by even the greatest trials and sufferings. So if you are a person of patience, how Jesus wants you to be, that would mean that you are one who is not swerved from your deliberate purpose, meaning I have a course, I have a place that I'm going, there's something that I've set my attention on, my mind on, and I cannot be swerved from this purpose. They're loyal to their faith, that they will not stop believing God, you can't get them off of it. And their godliness, that there's no compromise in their life when it comes to this thing. Doesn't matter if it costs me something, I'm going to do it anyway because I know it's the will of God. And they will not be swerved by even the greatest trials and sufferings. All hell could break loose against you and you would remain patient. You would live under the pressure of what's coming against you. The attitude of biblical patience is that of someone who's gained ground and now says, this is my spot and I'm not moving. I was reading in a book called Sparkling Gems from the Greek. Now, there's a guy by the name of Rick Renner. He's a missionary in Russia, great man of God. He wrote this massive book on Greek words, and I was looking up this word, and he had some great things to say. He's talking about this word patience, and he says, the determination inherent within this word patience is clearly seen when it was used in a military sense to picture soldiers who were ordered to maintain their positions even in the face of fierce combat. How many of you know we're in a war? How many of you know that there's an enemy of our soul? The devil and his angels that are coming against us, the demonic forces and powers and principalities that are coming against us. So we, as Christians, have been ordered to maintain our position even in the face of fierce combat. He goes on, their order was to stand their ground and defend what they had gained. To keep that ground, they had to be courageous to do whatever was required, no matter how hard or how difficult the assignment. Their goal was to see that they survived every attack and held position until they had outlived and outlasted the resistance. These soldiers had to indefinitely and defiantly stick it out until the enemy realized they couldn't be beaten and decided to retreat and go elsewhere. See, the devil's going to come knocking on your door. He's going to come against you. He's going to come and try and get you knocked out of your place. Almost like a pillar that's holding something up, if he can get you cattywampus, a little off kilter, a little knocked out of place, if he can come and kick you until you cave in, then the structure's going to fall down on top of you or all around you. He goes on to say that patience is the attitude that declares, I don't care how heavy the load gets or how much pressure I'm under. I am not budging one inch. This is my spot, and I'm telling you right now that there isn't enough pressure in the whole world to make me move or to give it up. It's that attitude on the inside of us, that spirit that used to be rebellious against God and against authority and against our parents and against other people, against our boss. But now we take that same attitude, that same fight, that same spirit on the inside, that rascal that used to be against God. Now you use that attitude and you take that thing and you turn it around and you put it under godly control. And now you say, devil, guess what? Now you're the bad one. Now you're the one that I'm resisting. Now you're the one that I'm not going to put up with your shenanigans. Now you're the one that has to go because I'm not moving. I'm not quitting. You can't make me give up. I've got a position. This is the ground that I have gained. God has brought me this far, and now he's not going to leave me. And because God is for me, who then can be against me? I can hold up under this thing, and I will not be moved, and I will not give up. That is what true patience is. Not just waiting. Not just sitting there passively doing nothing. Not indifferent about the circumstances that are going on around you. No, it's quite different when you get this understanding. It is resistance. It's fierceness. It's something that you have to go after. It's something that takes an attitude. It takes ambition. It takes you going after the things of God. Now, I'm going to make some statements. We'll put them up on the overhead as we go. A couple of things that we need to know about patience tonight. First thing is that patience starts with the Word of God. You cannot be patient unless you have the Word of God. In other words, the Word of God is that thing that holds you together so that you can stand up under the strain and the pressure of the weight of the things that are coming against you. Without the Word of God, you're going to collapse. Without the Word of God, you're going to give up. Without the Word of God, you can't make it. Let me show it to you in the Word. Turn with me to the book of Revelation, last book in the Bible. Jesus is writing. He's writing letters to churches. He's speaking. And in Revelation chapter number 3, turn there with me, Revelation chapter number 3. Jesus is speaking these words in Revelation chapter 3, verse number 10. He says, because you have kept my command to persevere, I also will keep you from the hour of trial, which shall come upon the whole world to test those who dwell on the earth. Now stop right there for a second, because this is the New King James. I just read it in. Look up on the overhead. This is the Old King James Version. Okay, I think it says it a little bit better. It translates it a bit better for your and my understanding. Because thou hast kept, look at this, the word of my patience. I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. Did you know that the Bible tells us that we go through many tests and trials? Now this is speaking of a trial, an hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world. But you and I in our lifetime, we go through trials. We go through tests. There are things that come and that are weighty upon us, that are laid down upon us. And it's saying something to you and I that if there's a great pressure that's going to come upon the whole world, and God will keep us from that hour, why? Because we have kept the word of his patience. In other words, the word of God is the very thing that holds us together. It's that thing that keeps us strong. It's that thing that gives us the strength to lift up our hands, to raise up those things that are coming against us. The Word of God will keep you strong. Patience starts with the Word of God. Another statement I can make about patience is that when we live under pressure with the Word of God, it produces fruit in our lives. Now we see this concept over and over and over and over again in the Word of God. Not just one time, many times we see the fruit that patience produces. So if there's a lot of stuff that gets produced in our lives with patience, that means that we should really want this. We should really desire this. We should really put it into practice in our lives. Not just sitting around waiting for something. No, now we are sticking to it. We are gaining ground, and we're not going to give up on that ground. We're going to stay in that place. God has assigned me to this place. Now here I am. I've got a job. I've got something. And devil, you can't deter me. You can't get me off of it. I don't care what people come against me. There's no pressure from man on me, but I can stay up under it because I see the results. When we live under pressure with the Word of God, it produces fruit in our lives. Turn back to the book of Luke. You were just there in Luke 21. Turn back to the book of Luke, chapter number 8 this time. Luke chapter number 8. Are you guys doing okay tonight? Good. Luke chapter number 8. We find the parable of the sower in Luke chapter number 8. Jesus is talking about the Word of God being sown into the hearts of men. There were many different soils, many different types of ground that the Word of God was sown on. Some were sown on the wayside where the birds of the air, the devil, came and stole it away. Some were sown on shallow ground that sprang up really fast and received the Word with joy, but then when the pressure, when the trial came against it, it withered because it had no root. Some fell among thorns. There was problems, pressures, trials, temptations. Desire for other things that choked the word, the Bible says. But take a look at verse number 15 of Luke chapter number 8. It talks about the good ground. Talking about the word, the seed of the word of God. Verse 15, but the ones that fell on the good ground are those who, having heard the word with a noble and good heart, keep it and bear fruit with what? Oh, come on, that was weak. Let's try it again. They keep it and they bear fruit with what?
Patience.
Does that mean that the ground just bear fruit because it's just sitting there waiting for it to pop up? No, what has to happen for a seed to grow? There has to be pressure. There has to be weight. There has to be moisture. There has to be heat and sunlight. There has to be all these things taking place, and that seed has to be in its spot, taking that ground, rooting itself down, building itself up in order to bear fruit. So to bear fruit with patience isn't just sitting around and waiting for the dewdrops of heaven to fall on you. No, it's getting in there and making something happen with what God has given you. Getting a hold of the Word of God, declaring the Word of God, speaking the Word of God, putting it into practice in your life. That is what it means to bear fruit with patience. Why? Because with a noble and good heart, you received the Word. You kept it. You did something with it. You bear fruit with patience. Now, to bear fruit with patience could also be viewed in the same way when the Bible says that Mary, the mother of Jesus, was with child. Okay, to bear fruit with patience in the same way, talking about Mary was with child. In other words, let me put it this way. In the same way that a pregnant woman waits to bear a child is how we wait to bear fruit. Got a little quiet in here, okay, men? I know you can't relate to this too much. It's all right, I'm a man too. But I know my wife, when she was pregnant, she didn't just sit there and do nothing. She exercised, she ate the right things. She made sure that she was getting her doctor's checkups and visits and, you know, going down and making sure she was doing the right thing. Why? Because she wanted to make sure that she had a healthy baby that was delivered. Made sure that she would walk and drink enough water and do the right thing so that we could have a healthy baby. In the same way that that pregnant woman speaks to that child. I remember many nights before we go to bed, I'd start singing to my children. When they were still in the womb, start speaking to them. I'd get them all riled up too. And she'd be like, can you not do that? Because they're keeping me up, you know? But you speak it. You speak the name of that child. And you speak the goodness of God over that child while they're still there in the womb. See, the Word of God, when it's on the inside of you, it isn't just passive. It isn't just sitting there lying dormant. It isn't doing nothing. It's working something. It's doing something. It's moving. The Bible says that the Word of God is living and active on the inside of us. And so if you're going to bear fruit with that seed that's been sown on the inside of you, if you are with that seed, just like Mary was with child. See, Mary was storing up things in her heart. She was going and visiting her relatives. She was doing stuff in faith. She was moving forward. You and I, if we have the Word of God and we keep it with patience, it will bear fruit in our lives. Patience is the womb where fruit is developed and birthed out of us. Let me say that one more time. Patience is the womb where fruit is developed and birthed out of us. So you might be thinking to yourself, well, what kind of fruit comes out of patience? What's the product? What's the end result? I'm glad you asked. Turn with me to the book of James. It's mighty quiet in here. Are you guys okay? I'm just making sure. Don't shout me down because I'm preaching so good tonight. Book of James, chapter number 1. I know, they're quiet because they're listening, Pastor. James chapter number 1. Some very familiar verses, but let's take a look at it with new eyes about patience. James chapter number 1, verse number 2, starting, and we'll read through verse number 4. It says, my brethren, that means all y'all, everybody, all of us, including Pastor Dan, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Now that is quite the opposite of what we think. Trial hits us and what do? Oh my goodness. I've got to call my sister. I got to call my brother. I got to go talk to the boys. I got to go gather up the troops. But the Bible says don't do any of that. Don't start squawking. Don't start belly aching. Don't run around like a chicken with your head cut off because there's problems. Listen, count it all joy. What does that mean? You can smile. You can roll your head back and laugh. Why? Because, hey, I'm going through something. Now you might be saying, well, what's that all about? Look at verse number 3. Knowing. Everybody say knowing. See, we ought to know this stuff. Why? Because we're going to go through problems. We're going to go through trials. And if we know what the Bible says we should know, then when we go through these things, we'll be able to have that joy. Look at what it says we should know. Knowing that the testing of your faith, that trial, the various trials that come against us, the testing of your faith produces what? Oh, come on, you guys. I thought we learned this the last time I had you repeat patience. Knowing that the testing of your faith produces what?
Patience.
Is that the testing of your faith makes you sit around and do nothing? No. It means that the testing of your faith makes you get strong. It makes you stand up under the weight of that thing. See, that's what the title of this message is standing up under. You remember that? So that when the testing of your faith comes, you can stand up under the weight of that thing and you will be able to maintain your position. You will not be moved. Knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. Verse number 4. But let patience have its perfect work. What does that mean? Don't give up. Don't quit. Don't stop. Don't let anybody distract you. Don't let anything deter you. Hold on. Let patience have its perfect work that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Now, perfect doesn't mean perfect in the sense of goodness or your righteousness. You have that in Christ Jesus. What it means is perfect, meaning having everything that you need, fully equipped, that you will be perfect and complete. You will be finished with that job assignment that you're bearing up under the weight of, that you will be the right piece in the right place at the right time. God is saying he will furnish you with everything that you need from his word and his spirit in order to be able to stand up under the pressures that come against you and that come against me. Let patience have its perfect work that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Now there's a little story I want to read to you. I believe that it illustrates what we're talking about pretty good. Okay? So just kind of go into your imagination. Don't go too far. I need you to come back eventually, but I want you to think about this, okay? There was a man who was sleeping at night in his cabin when suddenly his room was filled with light and the Savior appeared. The Lord told the man he had work for him to do, and he showed him a large rock in front of his cabin. The Lord explained that the man was to push against the rock with all his might. This the man did day after day for many years. He toiled from sunup to sundown, his shoulders set squarely against the cold, massive surface of the unmoving rock, pushing with all his might. Each night the man returned to his cabin, sore and wore out, feeling that his whole day has been spent in vain. Seeing that the man was showing signs of discouragement, Satan decided to enter the picture, placing thoughts into the man's mind such as, "You've been pushing against this rock for a long time. It hasn't budged. Why kill yourself over this? You're never going to move it." Thus giving the man the impression that the task was impossible and that he was a failure. These thoughts discouraged and disheartened the man even more. "Why kill myself over this?" he thought. "I'll just put in my time, giving the minimum of effort, and that will be good enough." And that he planned to do until one day he decided to make it a matter of prayer and take his troubled thoughts to the Lord. "Lord," he said, "I've labored long and hard in your service, putting all my strength to do that which you have asked. Yet after all this time, I've not even budged the rock a half a millimeter. What's wrong, Lord? Why am I failing?" To this, the Lord responded compassionately, "My friend, when long ago I asked you to serve me and you accepted, I told you that your task was to push against the rock with all your strength, which you have done. Never once did I mention to you that I expected you to move it. Your task was to push. And now you come to me, your strength spent, thinking that you have failed. But is that really so? Look at yourself. Your arms are strong and muscled. Your back is sinewed and brown. Your hands are calloused from constant pressure, and your legs have become massive and hard. Through opposition, you have grown much, and your abilities now surpass that which you used to have. Yet you haven't moved the rock. But your calling was to be obedient, and to push and to exercise your faith and trust in my wisdom. this you have done. I, my friend, will now move the rock. What does patience produce in our lives? Romans chapter 5, verse 3 through 5 in the J.B. Phillips New Testament. I'll put it up on the overhead for you. It says, this doesn't mean, of course, that we only have hope of future joys. A lot of times people think that the only time they're ever going to have joy in the Lord is when they get to heaven. They think that someday in the sweet by and by, all the problems, all the trials, all the pressure is going to be gone, and then I'll get to be happy. God will wipe every tear from my eye, and then I'll finally get to have some of that joy Jesus was talking about. No, right here, right now, on this earth, if you have patience, you can have joy. Says we can be full of joy here and now, even in our trials and troubles. Taken in the right spirit, these very things will give us patient endurance. This in turn will develop a mature character, and a character of this sort produces a steady hope, a hope that will never disappoint us. Already we have some experience of the love of God flooding through our hearts by the Holy Spirit given to us. God has shed abroad his love in our hearts, the Bible says. Therefore, we can have the hope that not only in this life when we go on to be with Jesus, that in the future, someday in heaven, in the sweet by and by, that when God catches us away, that we get to finally have that joy. No, right here and right now, standing up under the pressure, standing up under the problem, standing up under the trial, when we patiently endure, we can rejoice. Why? Because we know that that patience produces endurance in our lives, and that endurance produces a hope that will never disappoint us. One last thing I want to state to you about patience. It's this. Determined to live the rest of your life standing up under pressure with the Word of God. Let me say that again. Determine now, right here, right now, make a resolution in your heart. Determine something about tonight. That is that you're going to live the rest of your life standing up under the pressure with the Word of God. Oh, when you stand up, the world's going to say, sit down. You don't want to look different than anyone else. Everybody else is sitting down. Everybody else laid down under the pressure. You need to sit down. You're causing a disturbance. Sit down. But determine right now that whatever the world tells you to do, no, I was that rebel, and now I'm a rebel for Jesus. I was that misfit, and now I'm a misfit for Jesus. And because you tell me that I need to sit down like everyone else, listen, I'm an uncommon person. I've got God on the inside of me, and I'm going to stand up under the pressure. When you stand up and the devil says, sit down, I'm coming against you with everything I've got. You think you gained ground? You think you did good? Look at you, you're a failure. You messed up last night. All of your family's messed up. Everybody around you messed up. Your whole neighborhood's messed up. I came against them. Look at what happened to them. And now I'm going to do it to you. You can say, listen, devil, I was a rebel in the world, but now I'm coming against your kingdom. And I'm bringing a new kingdom, the kingdom of my God, which lives on the inside of me. And I'm going to stand up, and you can't have this ground. This is my ground. This is my place. This is my time. This is my hour. Make a resolution in your heart that no matter what comes against you, live the rest of your life standing up under the pressure with the Word of God. Trials are coming. Problems, you don't have to pray for them. You don't have to believe God for them. You don't have to ask for them. They will come. Just happens. Stuff happens. Let's not go there. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Let's go there. There in the book of James. Hebrews, right behind the book of James, chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 says, therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. That was the New King James. Let's take a look at it in the Old King James. In the Old King James, can we put the first part? Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, entangle us, get a hold of us. Whatever those things are, you need to lay that stuff aside. It's a distraction. It's going to tear you down rather than keep you up. You need to do this. Run with patience the race that is set before us. Whatever direction God has put you in, wherever God has set your course to, you focus on that spot. Jesus Christ, the author and the finisher of your faith, the next verse goes on to say, and you run towards that mark. You run towards it with what? Patience. Not just passive, not just sitting around waiting for something to happen. No, you go after the will of God for your life. If you're ready to run your race with patience, we're going to make a declaration tonight. And if you want to be involved in this, stand to your feet right now. We're going to make a prayer and say a declaration tonight, a confession over our lives with patience. Now, you don't have to do this. If you don't want to, that's fine. It's your call. But if you want to do this, you want to live your life with patience, not just sitting around, not passive, but actively pursuing the will of God for your life. Stand up and let's say this together. I'll say this and you repeat after me. Lord, I choose to walk in patience throughout my life. I will not be moved and I won't quit. I will hold on to the word of God. Endure every trial and pressure that comes my way. The word of God will produce fruit in my life. I will become mature, complete, lacking nothing, and filled with hope. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Come on, let's praise the Lord tonight if you got something from the word of God. Hallelujah. Woo. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Go ahead. You can have a seat. I'll have you stand back up in a minute.